You know, I was saying to you that we were going to be trying to encourage you or trying to help you if you want to give up smoking. And of course, No Smoking Day is on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday. So if you're thinking that that's your goal on that day, you're going to try and quit them even for the day. Well, we're going to try and give you a wee bit of inspiration, a bit of support. We've welcomed Shirley McClellan, the Stop Smoking Nurse, and Dr. Paddy Donnelly, the Consultant Cardiologist from the Ulster, to come in and try and help you as well. Good to see you guys. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Afternoon. Thank you.
So first of all, Shirley, people are coming in here asking for help whenever, you know, they've given up the cigarettes, they're going out for a drink, and that's whenever they find that they're really, really struggling, because at that point they need to lift the cigarette with the drink. So we're going to be looking at sort of ways of trying to help them with those difficult issues. What would you say to that? Because I didn't know what to say to that. I mean, as you know, I've given up a long time now, but when I thought about it, I thought that was the big worry. If you go out for a drink, which you want to be sociable and you want to have a great time, is that going to be whenever you're really challenged?
I think a lot of people worry about that, and that can be a bit of a challenge. So what I would suggest is, if you're using a patch, that's fine, but if you're going out socialising, maybe use something like the inhalator or another product, maybe the chewing gum or something like that. It gives you an extra little hit of nicotine, and that can get you through that those times.
Because it's just that, it's a momentary thing, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Because once you can get past that urge,
yes,
you know, you can forget about it again, as you would if you were smoking. You have that cigarette and then you forget about it for a wee while.
Absolutely.
You know, so.
And if you're determined enough, you'll do it. But sometimes an extra product like that can just make a bit of a difference for it.
Yeah. It's interesting. I know I was talking to you this morning about whenever I had my first cigarette, whenever I first started smoking. It's interesting the many people who are coming through here today who started at a very, very young age, and it just seems to be become part of their life. It's not really something they considered they shouldn't be doing. It just becomes... Yeah. Do you recognise that story?
Absolutely. The sad thing is that people are starting, and kids are starting younger and younger now. So obviously they're going to have their health problems earlier, which is sad. I think the message is, as soon as you realise that you need to get off them, then to look for help, and look for help from your local smoking service.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about the other thing we were talking about earlier this morning was, whenever you watch your parents smoke, it's more likely that you will do that whenever you grow up.
Statistically speaking, if your parents are smokers, then you're much more likely to be a smoker yourself. On the plus side, we often find that if you get one person stopped in a family, maybe, you know, generations that have been smokers, sometimes if you get one person and help them to stop, it can have like a ripple effect, and you'll find that other members of the family will then think, maybe I can do it, and then they can end up stopping as well.
Yeah, that can be encouraging.
Look on the positive side of it,
Paddy, can I just ask you, whenever you see people coming to you, you have serious health problems, and you know they've been smoking, what do you do? I mean, it must be really frustrating whenever you're looking at someone and going, you could stop this, you could help yourself. And it's easier said than done.
No, you're absolutely right. It is a frustration, Carolyn, because smoking is probably the greatest source of health problems for us in the Western world at the moment. My background is obviously cardiovascular health, heart attacks, strokes, that type of thing. But also you have the problems with narrowing of the arteries in the legs, lung cancer, which is on the rise and still continuing to kill just as many people as it was in times past. But from my perspective, I don't tend to judge. It is, as you say, it's a lifestyle choice. But I do want to try to get the point across that smoking does affect your health and will almost certainly affect your recovery. And it can be the single most important thing that you can do, particularly after a heart attack, to get yourself right again, to get yourself on a good path, get yourself healthy again. The figures are fairly clear, Carolyn, and I think if you stop smoking, the statistics would suggest that your chance of having a further heart attack within the year of stopping smoking is less than 50%. So that's a really substantial risk reduction. But we need to get that message across, that a simple thing, hard thing, but a simple thing, avoiding smoking, can have such a significant effect on your health. Because for me, it's not just about heart attacks. It's about heart failure. It's about the breathlessness that's associated with it. It's about the hospitalisation. And it's about the effect on your family and the fact that you can't go to work as often to continue to do the activities that you'd want to do as often. So it's got a huge, huge benefit if you do stop smoking.
Well, tell us this, because people who have maybe over the last couple of weeks or since New Year have given up? How long does it take? Because this is a question that people ask, before your body's back to brand new. I mean, how do you get? Because that to me is encouraging. If there's at some point you're going to clean yourself out by stopping over a long period of time.
Yeah. The issue really is how long you've been smoking for. Okay. And how much damage has been done at that stage. So how much repair does your body have to go through to try to bring you back to a shiny new model again?
Yes.
From purely a cardiovascular perspective, again, we know that smoking increases both your heart rate and your blood pressure. And that elevation in heart rate and blood pressure is therefore associated with you starting to lay down fat in your arteries. And it makes your blood slightly more stickier than normal, and hence you get heart attacks and strokes. But almost within weeks of stopping smoking, you start to see your heart rate start to fall and your blood pressure start to fall. So you can see a real difference very soon, within weeks. The issue then is, when do you see the benefit long term? And certainly from a heart attack, we're quite satisfied that if you're off fags a year after your first heart attack, you have reduced your chance by 50%. But to bring your risk back to that of a lifelong non-smoker, you could be looking at 10 years, Carolyn. But again, the prefix to that is how long you've actually been smoking for and how much damage has already been done.
Yeah. And are you shocked to hear that we had somebody in today on the text saying that her first cigarette was whenever she was 5?
I am, Carolyn. And
5 years old.
It's shocking and disappointing that that's the case. I think there has, with the likes of yourself and media, really driving the message through, the positive stories of how it has affected your life whenever you've come off it, the public health agencies, schools, mm-hmm. all supporting campaigns like the campaign we're in at the moment. I had hoped to see the figures for smoking starting to fall. We probably had an all-time low in the early 90s, and I don't know why it was effective then, but really I think since the noughties we're seeing a rebound effect of young people starting to smoke again, and as you say, recreationally more than anything else.
And that's surprising too, because we thought that whenever we weren't allowed to smoke inside, that everybody then would, you know, you'd just naturally not smoke as much. But I'm seeing now more and more people smoking in their cars. I'm seeing more and more people smoking outside buildings, more than ever. Did it sort of slow down a bit and then just come back? Or did people, was it the hype in the media that actually stopped people for a while? And then all of a sudden they've went, oh, back on the cigarettes again.
I think a lot of people did stop whenever the ban came in. But there are certain people out there that we're still going to have a challenge to help them to stop.
Yeah. What sort of things will you be doing, Shirley, to try and help people whenever they come along to you? What do you offer them?
We offer them lots. So what we do is we talk to them about their smoking habit. We find out how long they've been smoking, whether they've tried to stop before, if they stopped before, what they've used in the past, and if they've relapsed, then why did that happen? And then we can talk through how that, you know, next time that it doesn't happen like that again. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of options out there to help. There's nicotine replacement. There's other medications. So we can sort of tell people what has worked for other people, and then hopefully they will find something that works for them. Because as we were saying this morning as well, everybody's different, mm-hmm. and what will work for one person doesn't necessarily work for the next person. So it's up to us as Stop Smoking Advisors to work through the options that we have available and see what works best.
Joanne says, Carolyn, I was a social smoker from the age of 15 and stopped whenever I became pregnant 9 years ago. My partner continued to smoke to my disgust, but I'm glad to say after the last increase in price, this was the incentive enough to make him stop. 2 years and counting, and we are smoke-free homes. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. You must love whenever you hear stories like that, Shirley.
Yeah, and you hear stories like that all the time.
Yeah.
And I think it's only after somebody's been stopped for a while that they realise how much money that they have saved.
Mm-hmm.
If you're talking to a smoker, they won't particularly be worried about that, but once they've stopped, people do, you know, can afford a holiday very quickly or a new car or whatever.
Yeah.
So
and the funny thing is that with the addiction though, whenever people say to you, you could save so much, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter because
doesn't
the addiction overpowers mm-hmm. the incentive
yeah.
with the money. Marie in Clonard says, my friend's 15-year-old has started to smoke socially. Any suggestions on how to wean him off before he gets heavily addicted? Well, this is the point where you need to intervene, really, mm-hmm. isn't it?
It's very difficult, and we all know that's a difficult age, isn't it? There's always the hope that he may sort of grow out of it. Young lads, young girls are actually more prone to take up smoking. Young lads, sometimes if they would get involved in sport and things like that, sometimes that would maybe help them think that smoking isn't a good idea. Mm-hmm. I think the best thing to do is not lecture them, but maybe just give them the odd bit of advice now and again. And obviously be good role models and not be smokers yourselves.
Yeah, I think that's the big key. You're not to be smoking in front of them, mm-hmm. So that you're not encouraging them that this is a cool thing to do whenever you get to my age, sort of thing. Now, there's a question for you. Paul in Belfast asking, is it possible to use patches and one of those e-cigarettes at the same time? And which e-cigarette would you recommend? I'm struggling big time to quit, and cigarettes and alcohol would be, that's a song he's asking for, would it be an appropriate song? So what about that? The e-cigarettes and the patches, can you use them both together?
Okay, the electronic cigarettes, there are loads of them about right enough. And I was in a shopping centre on the way here, and there are, you know, they've got stalls everywhere. So they're very popular at the minute, and patients quite often ask about them. We can't actually recommend them because there's not enough research on them at the minute. Mm-hmm. Now, hopefully there will be at some stage, but at the minute there's not enough research to give us confidence that we can recommend them. What I would say if somebody's struggling is use a patch, but you can use another product with that. So I would say it'd be much better to use something, a prescription product, because mm-hmm. it'll be free rather than spend a fortune on the electronic cigarette.
So pretty much what you're saying is that nobody knows whether those long-term, those mm-hmm. electronic cigarettes are going to be bad for you.
No,
so you
don't know about their safety. And there's quite a few different brands and things, so we really can't recommend them at the minute.
Anne says, Carolyn, I was aghast yesterday whenever my daughter told me that her husband's smoking habit cost them £200 a month. Isn't that colossal? Must be a terrible pressure on a relationship. That's a lot of money, isn't it?
It is, isn't it, when you think about it that way?
To be smoking mm-hmm. £200 a month. I mean, think about what you could do with that, but like we say, not everybody wants to think about what they can do with the money, and sometimes it takes you to stop,
put the money away, and then realise.
Tommy says, I stopped 8 years ago after having prostate cancer, now out walking 6 miles a day, now 63. If I can do it, anyone can. Tommy, thank you for that. That's great. Are there any stop smoking groups that I can get close to Downpatrick? Ask one listener.
There may well be. The best thing to do is go on the PHA website, which is wanttostop.info, mm-hmm. and they have on there is a list of all the stop smoking services that are available, and if you can type in your postcode there, and they will give you the nearest stop smoking service. So mm-hmm. that's probably the best way to do it.
Okay, let me see now. I was going to ask you, Paddy, whenever you're looking at people's hearts and you realise that somebody has had a heart attack and they're still smoking, it must be, like I say, frustrating for you. What do you do then once you get somebody to that point? Someone's come to you, they've been very ill, and you're like, you should really give up the cigarettes. They're not going to help your situation. How do you deal with it? What do you do next?
Sadly, Caroline, for most people, they will know that they have been very unwell, and this has been a total shock to them, because up until that point, a heart attack is something that always happens to someone else. It never will happen to them. Smoking, blood pressure and cholesterol, and added to a sedentary, you know, not doing that much exercise, is really leading us to see heart attacks occurring at an earlier generation. So when I first started out in cardiology training, you would probably been 60 before you'd be seeing someone come in with a heart attack. Now it's not unusual for me to be treating a large number of patients in their mid-40s with heart attacks. Wow. And that's just in the space of 15 years, Carolyn. Mm-hmm. So you can see how lifestyle has played a huge part in our premature development of coronary artery disease. So change starts from day one. They're obviously in a coronary care environment. There's lots of nurses running around them. Machines are dinging, monitoring their heart rate. Now, that's an influencer. Why are you here?
Yeah.
It's because you're smoking 20 a day. We tend to take a non-judgmental attitude. At that particular point of time, it's very important to get the information across. Why have you ended up here? Well, it's because of this, and this is what happens. Your blood clots more quickly. You tend to get fat building up in the walls of your arteries. And then from there, I would try to encourage them over the coming couple of days while we're treating them and trying to get them settled and stabilised, but patched up as they move forward with the rest of their lives, hopefully without too much heart damage, to ensure that the appropriate support structures are in place. And one of the things that has been key for me has been access actually to Shirley, who's here. She runs a smoking cessation service for patients in the Ulster Hospital who have presented with a heart attack. And what has become very clear to me over the last 2 to 3 years, that even those patients who have the best will in the world whenever they leave hospital, unfortunately they will fail for one reason or another. It was a good night out. It was a stressful day at work. My friend gave me one while I was having a drink. It's a simple lapse like that, which unfortunately takes them right back to the type of lifestyle that ended up in hospital in the first place. And they don't mind too much because they feel okay.
Yes, you're feeling much better.
Feeling much better.
And life's for living. And look, I never thought I'd feel so good again.
Exactly. Yeah. Whereas having access to Shirley and other people who have been through a similar experience means you're more likely to stay off them. And that's a really important intervention at that stage.
And now, listen to this. Carolyn, I have a friend who smokes and needs and is continually borrowing money off me to buy her ciggies. She can't borrow money off her husband, as he rightly said, she can't afford to smoke. What should I do? Because I don't want to lose our friendship. Now, have you heard of this before, Shirley?
No, but I can just imagine it happening, really. Mm-hmm. I think to be a really good friend, you should just say no.
Yeah.
I'm not letting you the money for the cigarettes. Yeah. And that would be being a true friend, really.
Yeah.
And maybe that would maybe motivate the girl to think about stopping.
Yeah. So yeah, just by saying no, you're being a better friend than helping her smoke. I gave up 6 years ago. Could have got patches on NHS, but chose to buy them. It gave me more incentive being smoke-free since. That's Eleanor. So do you think that people buy into it and they spend money and invest into giving up cigarettes?
It's possible. Mm. And like we said, whatever, you know, some different things will work for different people. Mm-hmm. So if that's what works.
But that represents a motivated person. That's someone who's saying, I am taking charge of my health here. I'm going to go out and buy things that are going to help me to stay off them. Whereas other people perhaps want to do it, but are passive about it. Yeah. I think we have to start getting active in more ways than one and how we approach our health.
Yeah.
And what about this then? The person from Downpatrick, he was asking about giving up and the no smoking clinic. Down Hospital, go there. It worked for me. I'm off them now 4 months.
Very
so they're a place that you can go. Listen, we could keep you here all day. The queries are coming in, but we're out of time. Can I just ask you if people do want to get in touch with you, Shirley, and they want to give up, no smoking day is just around the corner, and they want your help, where should they go? Who should they speak
to? Just remember, no smoking day is one day, but you can stop at any time of the year. So if you don't stop on that day, you know, think about it maybe some other time. Doesn't necessarily have to be no smoking day.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can ring me if they want. My number's 915-111-134. The quit line is also good, and that's 0808-812-8008.
Mm-hmm.
And then the website, www.wanttostop.info.
Okay, that's great, Shirley McClelland, our stop smoking nurse from the Ulster, and Dr. Paddy Donnelly, the consultant cardiologist. I hope I never have to see you, Paddy.
Not in those circumstances.
Not in those circumstances. Lovely to see you. Thank you very much for coming in and helping us out today.